right. Good morning. Can you hear me? That's all right. I know everyone's journey matters, but not everyone's journey is all that interesting, so forgive me if I bore you. But if it helps someone who's walking a scary path and who needs some chutzpah, then bravo for both of us. Let me begin with a scripture, because anything worth saying is only worth saying if it comes with God's authority and not mine. And this is from the King James, and I always go there, not because of any religious background or preference, but because I am a theater buff, and it is the language of Shakespeare. Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a performance of those things told her of the Lord. And two things the Lord told me in the beginning of my walk with him was that he would never leave me or forsake me, and that I would be persecuted. Darn if I don't always forget that second part. Now, I was raised in a Catholic family that was proud of its Irish heritage, and rightly so. My name is Patricia Kathleen Colleen Dolan. The Bonnell was affixed at marriage. I had an intimate relationship with Jesus at an early age, one encouraged by the nuns and priests at my Catholic school, and I thank them for that. But as life rolled on and more of an emphasis was placed on doctrine and religion, my first love sort of rolled on and on and on as well, right off a cliff. So enter the 60s in an age of tumult and confusion, and as a young person, a great deal of that was inside of me. I was attending Towson University as an art major, but an additional passion was theater, and in one of my acting classes, I met a handsome and enthused Jesus freak, a young man who wore his faith on his sleeves, and I was intrigued by that. I'd never seen it before. And one of his first questions to me was, "Are you a Christian?" And I was affronted. I was Catholic, wasn't exactly Hindu. So I didn't understand. Why would he ask me something like that? But as we spent more and more time together, I started to realize that I needed to either jump to Christ's side with all feet in or ignore the call. And I do believe that God was calling me at that time. That was my moment. Now, I'm an artist, and I don't do too much without passion attached. So I came to the Lord, or rather, he came to me. And it was a passionate relationship from the get-go. And like all passionate relationships, it has its ups and downs and moments of waning, revived by seasons of fervent commitment, peppered with tons of arguing. So at a cast party, I knelt down and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was my public proclamation. Not a church, but a cast party. But remember, it was the tail end of the 60s, so I don't think anybody really noticed, if you catch my drift. But I noticed, and Christ noticed. I married that young man, and we went into ministry together. We started out at the Christian World Liberation Front in Berkeley, California. It was a time of the so-called Jesus Movement. Participated in the EOC, which is the Evangelical Orthodox Christian Church. Began a coffee house here in Baltimore called Solomon's Porch. Moved to Dallas so my husband could study for the ministry. And there we started a drama music ministry called the Glory Company, which we traveled all over this country. He was ordained, babies came, we started to settle down, and my husband went into full-time pastoral work in both Baptist and independent churches. I took care of hearth and home and then found myself teaching the arts and English in private Christian schools. It was a great life, one that lasted for more than 20 years. We were just loving Jesus. But life can turn on a dime, can't it? And the dominoes started to fall. My faith was about to be truly tested. Unbeknownst to me, my husband was having an affair with a friend of mine, a woman at whose marriage he officiated when he married her to another man. Scandal ensued, and the dominoes began to fall. He walked out, wiped out what little savings we had, and didn't give me another dime for about 6 years, and that was only because it was that or jail. Had he lost his mind? I don't know. But I was surely losing mine. I had 2 kids in college and 1 in private high school, and I was working on another degree as well. There was no money for food and mortgage, let alone those things. But the courts are slow to move, and as a result, I started to literally lose everything. The first domino to fall was my marriage. I loved my husband. Stress and grief ensued, and the health domino fell. I couldn't eat or sleep. My hair started to fall out. My weight fell to less than 100 pounds, and though some sort of drug relief might have been warranted, I was my family's sole support, making what was meant to be supplemental income, not the whole kahuna, and so I had to stay alert. I couldn't be drugged. I had to take second, third, even fourth jobs. Then I started to sell everything that wasn't nailed down. Domino. I would fill my van every week and cart off to auction every piece of furniture, lamps, clothing, utensils, whatever, and sold them to feed my kids and keep us sheltered. Because my husband was not paying the bills he was court-ordered to, the sheriff came knocking on our door trying to confiscate the things that we owned. My poor kids hid in their rooms, hiding their valuables, while I pretended to not be home and didn't answer the door. Another domino. And that van I loaded, oh, it started to make unearthly sounds, and the mechanic said, "I ain't gonna fix it, lady. Ain't worth it." Domino. The bank started sending notices, and foreclosure on my home was imminent. My kids were angry and confused, and who were they to take it out on except the parent who was left? 2 children ran off. Domino, domino. Friends even started to drop off. I think they were thinking my problems were somehow contagious. I was wandering along with them. Domino. I was really living the life of Job. And to put the cherry on top, I was fired from my job. Christians fired me. But it didn't stop there. The rest of the dominoes fell when my husband declared bankruptcy and forced tens of thousands of dollars of debt onto me. Debt I didn't even know existed because he had been lying and living a double life for many, many years. And there wasn't a domino left standing. Now, I have a healthy fear of God, and I meant no disrespect, but I was truly confused. I know he promised me persecution, but I also thought he promised to take care of me and not give me more than I could handle. Was this God I believed in? Was he lying to me? Now, my name is Patricia. It comes from the word patrician. It means of noble birth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the child of a king. Not only a king, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I wanted desperately to tap into my inheritance. So in sheer desperation one day, I shook my hand towards heaven and demanded that he remember his promises to me. Lord, uphold your word. No lightning bolt, nothing. I probably deserved it. But he's my dad. And if my dad can't take my anger with unconditional love, who can? So as a desperate child I was, I demanded my inheritance. I wanted my territory back. And there followed a peace that passes all understanding, and I was reminded in that still, small, quiet voice that all was well. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a performance of those things told her of the Lord. And the dominoes started one by one to stand back up. As my children were being evicted from our home, An apartment was immediately vacated about a block away. That apartment happened to be owned by my brother. Who else would rent to someone who has no job and no money but that someone's brother? Then I got a job, much to my brother's relief, and it was in my field. My old job, recognizing that I was fired unjustly and they were in legal trouble because of it, agreed to fulfill my contract, so now I was being paid twice as much as ever. My brother-in-law got a company vehicle and he didn't need his car anymore. Suddenly I found myself driving a Saab. I have no business driving a luxury car, but I am the child of a king. My children came to me one by one and sincerely asked me for forgiveness. And last of all, the debt. It took me 10 long years, working 2 and 3 jobs at a time, but I did pay off my ex-husband's debts. A workman is worthy of his hire, and I thought those people he ripped off deserved to be paid back. So I did it. We marry for better or worse. I just happened to get a lot of worse. But as a result of that, I managed to get myself back on my feet, kept the kids fed, sheltered, and after some scrambling, in their schools. I now own a beautiful little house in a quaint village, and I own it. I mean, I truly own it, not the bank. I went from homeless to well-homed, and the dominoes stand today. What Satan stole from me has been returned tenfold. You've seen some of my family. That's proof. I have 11 grandchildren. That's more than tenfold. And let me leave you with a visual, and I'm a visual artist, and I see pictures. And this is one the Lord gave to me, and to this day, I bring it to mind in crisis. I am in a boat, and it's rocking hard against the waves. Christ is in another boat with his hand extended, and he is calling to me. First, I must hold the boat steady. Then I have to get out. Now, I don't swim well. I almost drowned once as a child, so I've never been fond of this particular vision. But that doesn't matter. I know he wants me to walk on water, but a doggy paddle will do for now. And in this vision, Jesus says to me repeatedly, "Keep your eyes on me, Pat. Keep your eyes on me." So if I am to leave you with something precious and valuable for your own lives, it would be this. First, believe. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a performance of those things told her of the Lord. Then steady the boat and keep your eyes on Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to attest today. This is my testimony, and I'm going to give it to you in one succinct sentence. He has the most beautiful eyes.